From the newsroom at Performance Radio, this is local news on Dakota Country 1210 KOKK. I'm News Director Zach Nelson reporting. Organizers of the Lifelight Music Festival in Worthing are bringing a smaller version of the massive Christian music event to Huron Sunday. Guest speaker for the event and Lifelight representative Josh Brewer says Lifelight chose Huron for a smaller event in part because of the Labor Day scheduling of the state fair and the main Lifelight Music Festival.
Huron was one of the first places we thought of because, of course, we love the state fair. We love the guys at the state fairgrounds and everything that they do, and we understand the community of Huron really gets together to help put on that fair. So we understand that not everybody can come make it down to our festival, which happens to be over Labor Day weekend, the same time. And so we thought, how perfect would it be to be able to come to the state fairgrounds, not over that weekend where everybody's kind of busy and crazy, and do an event together, and people that aren't able to come down to our event and they're super busy at the fair, which is incredible, can come out to this event and experience a little bit of what we get to do down in Worthing over Labor Day weekend with the big festival.
Brewer says Lifelight is changing the way they put on the smaller shows they produce.
We used to do the Lifelight tours is what a lot of people around the region knew us for, in addition to the big festival we do down in Worthing. But we're kind of changing it up. We're changing those tours to be more of one-day festivals, kind of a small sample of what we do down at the larger festival, and just kind of a one-day thing. We bring in some bands, and all the things that you would see are some of the things you would see at a festival for one evening of a great party.
The one-day Huron Lifelight Festival begins at 7 p.m. at the Freedom Stage on the South Dakota State Fairgrounds this Sunday. Admission to the event is free and all ages are welcome. Republican Senators Lindsey Graham and John McCain are attempting to work out a so-called big deal agreement that could avoid a major confrontation over extending the federal debt ceiling this fall. South Dakota Senator John Thune has been involved in the talks.
If this group is successful in their negotiations with the White House, that we might be able to avert the crisis this fall that's coming when we have to raise the debt limit. That's going to represent a major point of contention, if you will. A lot of Republicans, of course, believe that if we're going to raise the debt limit, we ought to be doing something about the debt. The president and a lot of the Democrats want to see that addressed through a tax increase.
Thune says the negotiations have been going on for a while.
It's very early on in the negotiations. I've been involved in a lot of discussions up until this point, and we're sort of narrowing the group that's going to have those discussions. Senator McCain's kind of taken the lead on that. But if we can get an agreement that doesn't raise taxes and that's good for the economy, does something to address the long-term spending and debt crisis that we have in this country, I think there'd be a lot of bipartisan support for it.
Thune says the negotiations with the White House have been difficult to this point.
There's just been a big difference of opinion about, one, what the dimensions of the problem are, and two, the best way to fix it. And again, there's a big difference of opinion and disagreement over whether or not new taxes ought to be part of that. So we'll see if we can find a way to bridge that gap, but it's certainly in the best interest of the country if we can get government spending on a more sustainable path and do something that would rein in what is, as I mentioned earlier, is an out-of-control, unsustainable debt that we're passing on to future generations.
And the Education Funding Formula Study Committee of the South Dakota Legislature continues its work. It met earlier this week on Monday and Tuesday in Pierre. Committee Vice Chair Senator Larry Tiedemann says technology was the focus.
We focused really on the second kind of issue that the executive board gave us to look at, and that was the use of technology and how that may be changing some of the delivery systems and the impact that technology may have on some of the smaller schools.
Technology can help smaller schools broaden course offerings.
There's opportunities through the e-learning, through some of the other co-ops, where they're offering courses because they cannot find a specific teacher for, say, math, science, or chemistry, and they can deliver that by distance ed, and we explored a number of different avenues of how that can be done.
Tiedemann says the committee will meet in September to vote on possible recommendations.
What are the recommendations we want to bring forth to the executive board as kind of a summary of the committee. So each of the members are to come up with, these are things that we would like to endorse or encourage or bills that we would like to sponsor in the next session.
He does expect any major changes to the state's education system to come out of the committee.
Well, you know, if you look in the past, I would say our success rate is going to be nil. But I think that there's a dynamic change within this committee, and I think there's going to be some things that we're going to bring forward.
Tiedemann is not yet willing to predict just what those measures might be. That is local news on Dakota Country, 1210 KOKK. I'm News Director Zach Nelson reporting. News from across South Dakota is coming up.
News for Huron.
When you told somebody you're from Huron, they'd say, oh, too bad. And now that attitude has really changed. People are saying, oh, there's a lot of great things going on in Huron.
And the surrounding area.
The garage was fully inflamed, and it looked like it was working its way through the attic. We established hose lines right away.
With 15-time Eric Severline Award-winning news director, Zach Nelson, only on Dakota Country, 1210 KOKK.
In news across South Dakota, an inmate convicted of killing a prison guard during a botched escape attempt has asked the state Supreme Court to cancel his scheduled execution in January. 51-year-old Rodney Burgett pleaded guilty to killing guard Ronald Johnson in April of 2011. His initial death sentence was overturned by the Supreme Court because of a judge error, but he was sentenced again to death last May. Burgett has requested a stay of execution because he plans to appeal the new sentence. Attorney General Marty Jackley has filed a motion opposing the request. Two other inmates were involved in Johnson's death. Michael Nordman was sentenced to life in prison, and Eric Robert was executed last October. A Wabe man has been convicted of killing his 2-year-old daughter. A federal jury in Sioux Falls deliberated about 2.5 hours Thursday evening before convicting 35-year-old Mario Contreras of second-degree murder and assault resulting in serious injury. He faces up to life in prison when he's sentenced November 1st. Aaliyah Cook died in January of 2012. The attorney for Contreras argued during the trial that the girl died as a result of falling from a chair and that she had pre-existing head injuries. She primarily lived with her mother in Sisseton. Prosecutors say Contreras punched Cook in the head, leading to her death. Officials in Aberdeen have fixed an equipment problem that caused the city's water to have an odd smell and taste for a few weeks. The strange smell and taste were caused by algae that formed in the Elm River, the city's primary water source. Aberdeen Water Plant Superintendent Janelle Ellingson says the equipment that treats the water was not providing enough additives to deal with the algae. Ellingson says the water is safe to drink and the taste and odor should return to normal in a week or two. Conductors of a monthly survey of business leaders in 9 Midwest states say the region's economy will grow in the coming months despite a fourth month of decline in the survey's overall index. The overall economic index for the region declined to 53.5 in July from June's 55.6, but any score above 50 suggests growth. Creighton University economist Ernie Goss oversees the survey. He says the regional economy will continue to add jobs, but at a slow pace. The survey of business leaders and supply managers uses a collection of indexes ranging from 0 to 100. Survey organizers say any score above 50 suggests growth, while scores below suggest decline. Students at Armour High School, Rutland Junior High, and Kadoka Area's Midland Elementary have bragging rights. The South Dakota Department of Education say they're the best public schools in the state for the School Performance Index, now in its second year. It grades schools on a 100-point scale according to Dakota Step math and reading scores, but also attendance for the lower grades and high school completion and ACT scores for high schools. The index replaces the No Child Left Behind Act's goal that every child be proficient in math and reading by 2014. School districts that rank near the bottom get intervention from the state to turn scores around, while other school districts are left alone. And the U.S. Forest Service is letting people visit caves and national forests and grasslands in the Rocky Mountain region again, but there are restrictions as officials work to halt a disease that has killed 5.5 million bats since 2006. The agency issued a closure order in 2010 to keep white nose syndrome from spreading. So far, the disease and the fungus that causes it have not been confirmed in the region, which covers Colorado, Wyoming, South Dakota, Nebraska, and Kansas. That is news from across South Dakota. I'm News Director Zach Nelson reporting.